Now, if we move on to your main area of expertise, which will be the Irish community in Scotland, in that period, the late 18th century, early 19th century, how much was that new Irish community in Scotland influenced by secret societies, agrarian radicalism? How much did they take over from Ireland into the new communities in Scotland?
I could say from the very, very beginning of the community, not just we have record, the founding of the community as, you know, a community beyond a couple of hundred began after 1798. There was a huge, as anyone who's read anything about Irish history knows, there was a huge campaign of terror initiated by the British government against Irish people after the failure of the rebellion. In particular, in areas in Ulster, there was a process of free market politics, free market economics that destroyed the native weaving and cotton spinning industries within Ireland. And a large amount of the Catholics and Presbyterian radicals in the north were weavers. This pushed, so through a joint process of terror and economic terror, a huge amount of the community of former or present radicals were pushed into Scotland, which and Northern England, which was a natural kind of industrial hub and merging area for work. These weavers found ready work in Glasgow, primarily in the west of Scotland. Some of them found work in building or digging the canals over to Edinburgh, and that was the beginning of the Edinburgh community of Irish, which became quite important later in terms of where Connolly came from. And it would seem, given the evidence of people like Martin Mitchell, that the defenders went with them, and that cells of defenders were set up to almost mimic, or not even mimic, they were maybe wholesale moved over and continued their operations there. It became much more of a proto-union at that point. There's can't remember the name of the author now, but he proposes such a scenario for ribbon men in Liverpool, and I would suggest that it's probably the same in the west of Scotland, so there's not as much evidence for it, or rather it's not, the work hasn't been done on it. But I would say that the founding of the community in Scotland was a radical base or radical foundation, and the evidence for Irish involvement in strikes at the time and in the radical war of 1820 is patchy. They probably were there. Certainly there was a weaver strike in 1812, I think it was, or it was 1814. We don't have the evidence for how many of them were Irish because they didn't take notes in terms of nationality. But I would say, given the proportion of Irish that emigrated at the time and the large amount of destruction of the weaving industry in Ireland, that a proportion of them were Irish. They just perhaps weren't going around calling themselves Irish. And then later on in the 1820s, they were involved in the beginning of the cotton spinning unions, or rather unions at the time were illegal. After, I think it was 1877 or thereabouts, the British government under Pitt brought in the Combination Acts, which basically made it illegal to combine as workers, i.e. to form a trade union. As E.P. Thompson has shown in The Making of the English Working Class, just very rarely stopped people doing it. They just called themselves something else, like a society or a union society. And there's quite a few union societies in Scotland at the time, and I would suggest that given the fact that there was not the anger anti-Irishness which was prevalent later, that they probably quite easily joined these groups. Though again, that would probably be a debated fact.
And just touch on as well the role of the Irish community in the mining industry.
And in Lanarkshire, yeah.
And especially the radicalism among miners.
Mm. From what my memory of what I've written on it is that, and what has been written by it, by Campbell, I think, is that the Lanarkshire miners were quite a radical group, given the fact that they had quite comfortable wages. I might be wrong about that. And that the Irish had traditionally been called scabs in this area, and they were blacklegs. And it was believed that they had no political consciousness. They were just there to make a quick buck and then move on. However, from bits of evidence that have been brought forward by Campbell, it seems now that it was a mixed bag. While there was scabs who were Irish, and there were blacklegs who were Irish, there were also a large amount of Irish involved in the unions and in the various strikes that happened. If they were not in the unions, they certainly took part in the strikes. It seems that there was a certain part of the Irish community which was more migratory and would come into the area and then leave quite soon. And by all means, they were probably scabs. But there was also established Irish community which was involved intricately with the industrial movements and were supportive of them. So it wasn't all the same thing. It was that the Irish who lived and worked with the Scots there were more likely to, you know, take part in strikes and maybe even be part of unions and be quite important members of those either industrial actions or the industrial unions. But as I said, there were also scabs and blacklegs who were Irish.
Now, if we moved on slightly and looked at the Chartist movement, who were the Chartists and what was the Irish role in the Chartist movement?
The Chartists were basically a British reform movement led by Irishman Fergus O'Connor and Bronte O'Brien. So at the very tip-top of the movement, the ideological and leadership roles were by Irish radicals. Also, as it happened, to be quite vehement enemies of Daniel O'Connell for reasons which we'll talk about in a minute. The Chartists were a reform movement, as I said, who desired to bring about economically a reversal of the Industrial Revolution. They wanted to bring back the pre-industrial society that had existed as it had previous to the Industrial Revolution. Fergus O'Connor desired to rehouse people in the countryside and establish kind of a system of cooperative ownership, not communal ownership, cooperative ownership, whereby people would have a tenant, like a farm, they would be tenants on the land and cooperatively would run society. They wanted to have a universal male suffrage for a yearly parliament, whereby every man over 18 or I believe or 21 would have the vote, as regardless of their if they had property or how much they earned.